Hey everybody, fun episode of the morning show today. We talk about the exploit that's happening in the crypto space right now with Ledger and with Revoke.cash. Really fascinating stuff. Stay safe out there. Don't engage with any decentralized applications right now. It's just not worth it. We also talk about the Federal Reserve's FOMC meeting, implying that there could be rate cuts in 2024, basically celebrating a soft landing, Jerome Powell saving face. We talk about whether inflation is curbed, and we talk about the stock market too. What stocks could 2X in the next X number of time. The show is done in partnership with Unsellable NFTs. This is a service that if you listen to the show, if you traded NFTs, I almost can promise that you need this service. It's a service that lets you sell your worthless Ethereum NFTs that you may have paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for, but now have no liquidity for tax loss harvesting. So it can offset your capital gains, whether short-term or long-term. And in a very automated way, you'll be able to track it in your wallet. So check out Unsellable NFTs, thenifty.com/unsellable. Yeah. Appreciate you guys listening to the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thursday, December 14th. You've tuned into the NFT Morning Show. We run the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, each and every week. We have a lot to talk about today. Pretty wild morning in the world of decentralized crypto. Apparently, Ledger has been compromised to some capacity. Revoke.cash as well. Big hack going on right now. We're going to dive into that. We're also going to discuss the recent crypto pump following the latest Federal Reserve FOMC meeting and what it's going to mean for crypto going into 2024. We're going to talk about the Bonk token getting listed on Coinbase and then ripping to new all-time highs. And then lastly, whether or not you should buy into the Portal Coin presale going live today at 10 a.m. Wanted to shout out a Bodago of the day, a gentleman named Einstein, absolutely badass Bodago. He had to be convinced to join the Bodago's community and to, change his profile picture, but he was convinced, and did join. His @ on Twitter is, handle is @ NFT Einstein, Einstein spelled as you would think. He has a cool Bodago with a suit and a monocle and a banner. And he's actually been helping me behind the scenes. Him and Madrag have been helping me behind the scenes, with gifts. So you'll definitely see some progress on the gift front. And then lastly, Greeny, NF, Einstein and Madrag are actually starting their own show called the DGen Show, which I'm super excited about. And it looks like that is going to start December 20th. Because of their time zone, they're doing the 6:30 a.m. Eastern time slot. So they're actually going to get that show across the line earlier than Easy's show. Greeny, of course, has been growing as a content creator in a really significant way, doing YouTube, getting traction there, posting his technical analysis, his wins and his losses on Twitter. So it's been really cool to follow the growth there, follow Greeny and now Einstein and Madrag getting in on it. Really couldn't ask for better community members to be holding Bodagos, representing Bodagos with their profile pictures, and really just trying to push the entire Bodagos community and franchise forward. Absolutely love to see it. So give NFT Einstein a follow. That's NFT Einstein. That's his handle on Twitter. Nick, how you doing this morning, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I pushed a link for this sponsor and I'm waiting on this to go live. Other than that, man, I'm doing pretty well. The market is pumping. I haven't interacted with anything with my Ledger. And I haven't interacted with my Ledger with any site because I basically never do. Mm. So I feel like that's sort of how often do you interact with something with Ledger? I guess you could for like transferring NFTs. Like if you wanted to transfer them out of your wallet, that's one circumstance where I've used things like OpenSea in order to do that. Although I guess you could do that from now, from MetaMask now.
Well, fun fact, because I'm a Bitcoiner, I didn't buy a Ledger until recently. I've used Trezor, the competitor to Ledger. That's Trezor, which is significantly more analog than Ledger. Like way more analog. I popped open the Ledger and Ledger is very digital. You know, there's a very slick user interface. It's almost like an iPod Touch or something. You can do a bunch of stuff on the screen of the Ledger, but Trezor is more of an analog key that feels ultra secure. And I don't think I've ever heard of any security vulnerability with Trezor. I've been using Trezor for 3 years now, never had any sort of issue. Just and the only reason I recently got Ledger was because Solana is not supported on Treasure. And, you know, I had like, you know, a significant amount of Solana. And so I'm like, well, I got to do something with this. I'm wondering if, you know, the move is to just actually leave the Solana on Coinbase with allow listed, whitelisted addresses so no one could withdraw it. That's the thing. Obviously, I'm not leaving like my Bitcoin and stuff on there, but the security vulnerabilities with Ledger, they're pretty scary stuff. Pretty scary stuff. Not the first time that I've heard of it either.
Yeah, but you're also the same person that when LastPass gets hacked for the 17th time, you're like, yeah, but that doesn't matter. Like,
it actually doesn't.
I feel like it's a little bit of a conflicting sort of position.
It actually literally doesn't because of the security setup.
I just don't use a Ledger. I trust Google Chrome. It's great. I just leave everything on there. You know, it's the safest thing. Google's never been hacked. What could possibly go wrong?
What are you doing with Google?
I don't use a Ledger. I leave all my money on there.
I mean, that's not true, right?
It's not true. It is far from true. But I don't connect my Ledger to anything. Literally nothing.
Yeah, I don't connect it to anything.
I only send money in and out of it. That's it.
I have swapped on Uniswap.
I've never swapped on my Ledger.
That is something I've done. So, I mean, I could have been exposed via that, but...
But it's only exposed if you connect now.
Yeah, which I'm not doing.
Yeah, so ladies and gentlemen, just make sure you're not connecting to decentralized applications right now. It's like, just wait.
If you're doing it, you're going to want to be naked when you do it. Like, that's like a key thing. They say if you were wearing clothes, it's gonna conflict with your computer. I don't know. That's just what people have been saying.
That's what they're saying. Signal, I saw you put your hand up. Something to contribute here?
Yeah, you know what? With Ledger, I was so pro Ledger, and then they had all their mistakes, and I was like, you know what? It's okay. Every company makes their mistakes. And then I got, you know, on the iPhone, how they remind you this time last year you did whatever. I got this photo come up, and it goes, and it was me at a Ledger event, and I bought the stacks. Do you remember they brought out a product which was all very Apple-y, and it was a new Ledger stacks, and it kind of felt, you know, like Apple had designed it, and it was a huge improvement on the current Ledgers. Yeah, then I was like, yeah, where is this product? Because I paid for it. They haven't shipped it. It's now been a year, and I know that because my iPhone has reminded me this time last year I bought this product. Wow. So I've gone on Ledger, and I've asked for my – I think I paid around $300 for it. I think it was around that. And I've asked for my money back because I'm not waiting another year for this product when it was meant to
Didn't
be
Didn't you pay in ETH, though?
No, I was at the event, so I paid with a credit card. I will get my money back, but I would still like my stacks. Like, I'd still like for them to actually deliver that product. So Ledger is in the bad column on the accounting on the accounting tableau this year.
She Ledger's on the naughty list, ladies and gentlemen, going into the holidays. Sounds like they are absolutely on the naughty list. Anyway, look, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of this show. Now, I'm also inviting our buddy Trevor Owens to the stage because I see him in the audience and I want to invite him to the stage.
I don't want to hear from that guy. That guy trades those stupid Bitcoin rare sat things. Remember those? Remember when those were something? They're not anything anymore.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, just inviting my our good buddy and literal investor in our company, Trevor Owens, to the stage. Quickly, I want to shout out the partners for today's show, Unsellable NFTs. You haven't heard us talk about Unsellable NFTs before, but we're very excited about Unsellable NFTs because this is a product that if you are active in the NFT space, you can use. And here's why, ladies and gentlemen. So Unsellable is a service that lets you sell some of the worthless Ethereum NFTs that you may have paid hundreds or thousands of dollars for, but now they don't have any liquidity. So this is something for tax loss harvesting. So this can offset some of the capital gains that you've made from trading crypto, NFTs, or even stocks. If you're interested in tax loss harvesting and saving money on your taxes, which, ladies and gentlemen, you should be, you can go to the nifty.com/unsellable, and Nick can let me know if that link is actually... It's live. Beautiful. TheNifty.com/unsellable to learn more. Make sure you do it by December 31st in order to have it apply for your 2023 taxes. And so basically, ladies and gentlemen, just to put it simply, this is kind of a, you know, this is just a kind of automated way to be able to do this so that when you, you know, analyze your wallet or use one of these tax services, all of the losses are logged. So I'm going to be personally doing this year with Unsellable. I'm very excited about it. Clemente, you know, when he first told me about the product, he had actually mentioned that he used it last year. I wasn't familiar a few months back when he brought it up to us. And I was like, yeah, it sounds like a really good product to use. It sounds like something a lot of our users, a lot of the users are going to want it. What was that, Nick?
You just click a button. You just go to the website. You click a button. It does it automatically for you. Like, it's pretty straightforward. And I think most people know what tax loss harvesting is. If you don't, what are you doing? Basically, you take the losses, you write them down, and you save some money on your taxes.
T Ward 20 was a badass bodogo, has a bunch of dogs. He's a whale and has a Pepe doggo. He said the site's about to crash from overload because so many people are just going to come on that lost money on worthless NFTs and stuff. Pretty funny stuff there from T Ward. Big fan. excuse me. Jeez. Anyway, we got Bunny on video too. Bunny, what's going on, amigo?
What's up, dude? Did you get drained or are you good?
Oh, you did not get drained,
you, don't you?
Let's get that phone out of there, buddy. And
I don't even know where it is. I don't even have a phone.
Well, I can hear it.
We can tell that it's close, amigo. And I see a nice Christmas tree in the back. Looks like the Bunny household is very festive. Anyway, let's get into the weather report. Signal, you ready to rock?
Absolutely. It is Thursday, December the 14th. If we're looking at the numbers, you've got that ETH market volume coming in at 20 million. We're down about 15% from yesterday. Don't panic. Everything is still okay. Blur, obviously taking a line share. OpenSea, no share. Solana, Clemente has written, wow, because it's at 13.1 million. It is absolutely cooking over there. On to the market leaders. Looking at some of the top movers, the Penguins, they're back to waddling up to 11.2 ETH. We've got Imposter Aliens, they're up 34%. Moonbirds, also up 13%. And the Parallel Avatars are down to just under 1 ETH. Over the past 24 hours, well, yesterday, obviously, after the Fed signaled that there would be 3 interest rate cuts in 2024, making for a much more risk-on environment. Crypto has been green across the board. You got ETH and Bitcoin all up about 5%, while Solana and Cardano up about 10% each. Meanwhile, the gaming tokens like IMX and Prime are up about 20% as they continue to push through these new highs. Over on Solana, Solana NFTs also saw a bounce back after multiple days of bleeding. They recorded that strong 24-hour volume, but it's mostly been led by the Sol's SPL20 volume. The Tensorians are up about, well, the Tensorians are up to 100 Sol. Mad Lads are now back to breaking almost 200 Sol. And you've got other leading collections up about 5 to 10%. Over on the meme coin side, another place where you could be making money. Well, the clear winner of the day is Bonk. Why? Because Coinbase announced that they'll be listing that token today at 12 p.m. Eastern, and Bonk is up a face melting 50% to new all-time highs, now ranked 69th. In the total market cap amongst all the cryptocurrencies. And then lastly, the Sushi Swap CTO has tweeted a red alert that no one should interact with any dApps. We've just been talking about it until further noticing after the Web3 connector had been compromised, affecting all those dApps on Ledger Connect's kit. Sorry, yeah, that's the one. Anyway, back to you folks in the studio.
Fantastic weather report, Signal. I was concerned when you said Sushi Swap CTO. I think a lot of people in the audience can know where my mind went. I thought he might be announcing something else, and it didn't have to do with a hack.
A horse.
Might have had to do with a horse. Anyway, look, ladies and gentlemen, the Daily Digest is the newsletter posted to X platform every morning. It's also available if you subscribe at thenifty.com. We actually used it to distribute karate token to Bodogos and Nifty Portal holders last week, I guess, at this point, in the past few days. Really, really cool to see people get excited about Karate Combat, which is happening tomorrow in Vegas, their biggest fight ever, Benson Henderson versus Anthony Pettis. Wish we could be there. Anyway, Web3 gaming studio Rainy Studios has been acquired by Canpai Pandas. So that is, you know, we had Bags from Canpai Pandas. He mentioned there was going to be an acquisition on Tuesday on the show. And he bought a gaming studio. So really interesting stuff there. I wonder what the terms of the deal were. Next story, Solana DeFi TVL has broken 1 $1 billion for the first time since the FTX debacle. So just over a year ago was the FTX debacle. Great to see Solana's complete return to grace. What an epic run it's been over the past year. Can't wait to see what 2024 holds. Next story, Portal Coin presale begins today at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So all you Portal Coin people, today's the day, I guess. 10 a.m. Eastern time. Here's the presale. Hopefully stop tweeting about it. And last story, Bored Ape Yacht Club and Bape global public release goes live the day after tomorrow, the 16th. Bunny, are you participating in this public sale?
No.
Dude, this was your comment on Portal Coin was disrespectful, Pia.
Was it?
It was. He didn't even mention that they have the biggest gaming announcement in Web3 gaming history coming today, they said.
Is that what they said?
That's what
they said. Yeah, the former creator of GTA.
Well, I thought they already announced that.
Wait a minute.
Did I miss it?
No. No. This is their old announcement.
Okay. So the rumor, like the speculation is because in the little teaser, there was a video of PUBG. So people are speculating that it has something to do with PUBG.
That guy's a big name, right? One of the biggest creators in the world.
It's a game.
Oh, it's a game. Oh. Not super tuned in with the video game stuff.
PUBG is one of the biggest games, in case you're wondering there. And in fact, it's a competitor to Fortnite, Pia. Similar, what do you call that gameplay style? Easy?
Battle Royale.
There you go. I think they may have even been before Fortnite with Battle Royale.
They were.
Yeah.
It was H1Z1, PUBG, then Fortnite.
Yeah. So
H1Z1 was made by a Bored Ape, too.
It was.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he made that and then became a Bored Ape. It wasn't.
Yeah, he didn't have a Bored Ape back then. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was rich.
Yeah. And Clemente has his hand raised. I think he.
Real quick, he has an adjustment. One other thing to say. You missed out on the music because the music opportunity was last night took an L, but tonight I bounced back. I feel like that would have been the right song to play here. And you missed
that. During the show or the opening show?
I think the opening, maybe even during at this point in time. I don't know.
Well, there you go. Clemente, a little detail to correct. Is that right?
Breaking news. They just pushed back their pre-sale by 24 hours due to the Ledger compromise.
Okay. There you go. You got you're going to have to wait a little bit. Portal people because of the Ledger compromise.
Sounds like a cop out.
Can you believe that we got to tweet out this Portal Coin thing just to get to the bottom of it, you know, and tag Portal Coin and then retweet it and make sure you let people know the multiplier that you have for people retweeting your stuff. I'm hooking you up. You know, that's the reality by tweeting things out. They did a great job with that, but I actually think this Portal Coin has an opportunity to run here. Very interesting.
We'll have to see. I mean, look, it's going to be interesting. Anyway, those are your stories from the Nifty Daily Digest. Let's dive in. Bonk, getting listed on Coinbase today at 12 p.m. Eastern time when we had Ram Ahluwalia, the founder and CEO of Lumina Research, on the show. He said by the time a token gets to Coinbase, you're pretty much late. I mean, there's been a lot of Solana people that have held Bonk for a long time. Is this the big moment where those people are going to get rich because it's now listed on Coinbase? It's up 50% in the last 24 hours. New all-time high, fully diluted market cap of $1.5 billion. Is Bonk what people thought Pepe was going to be?
Bonk is just another meme coin. I'm going to be honest. There's been a lot of meme coins that are pumping, Pia. And Bonk is one of them. I like the Bonk action. You know, we've been expecting a 10x, another 10x from here. Because why not? You know, I'm interested in the Bonk action. The other one that I missed out on was Dogs with Hats. So, Lift. Yeah, that token I missed.
You also missed out on Ultra Shark with Tits.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Shark with Tits.
Mm-hmm. That's literally what it is.
That was literally the name of a meme coin. Dude,
it's meme Cicadia Super Rhythm 69, but its mascot is a shark with tits.
And meme there was like a lot of trends.
There was a lot of thought put into it. If you look, the shark has a bra, and they like really thought through the process of like how a shark would wear a bra if it had tits. So like, I don't know. Could have legs.
Dog whiff hat, I think, is the more promising one. I just think that there's a major opportunity on
that. Do you hear what we're saying right now?
I'm just thinking about the offering that they've provided to the world. You know, like the they have pictures of dogs with hats on.
Good point.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, when you start looking at the trends in meme coins, it gets pretty weird pretty fast, for sure.
The shark has big breasts, I will say. Like, it does seem a bit oversized to a degree that it almost looks like shark with nuts.
And it's uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. They're like, it's a lot. It's a lot to embrace, if you understand what I'm saying here. It's just got a lot going on. The token did a 5,000x. Yesterday. The token's been live for about 7 days. It was all over the timeline. All over the timeline. But that's the thing Pio had even said was like, when it hits Coinbase, it's late. I also feel like when you see everybody and their uncle shilling it, it's late as well. Like, you're sitting there and you're like, damn, I feel like I may just be late on this. I looked at the chart last night. I didn't buy because I was like, dude, this thing's just a piss missile up. And I completely passed on it. The other thing that ran too, speaking of like meme coins, was SPL20 tokens, Solana inscription tokens. Giga sent yesterday. Because Gate.io listed them. Yeah, look at this thing. So for the Twitter audience, we got the shark with tits pulled up. Nothing about this makes me feel comfortable.
I mean, they did, to Bunny's point, they did some level of effort with this that I think it is notable. You also probably could have used one of those AI generators to produce this and then, you know, pump this coin. It's meme coin season. That's all I'm saying. And the meme coin season so far appears to be happening on Solana because people don't want to pay gas in order to trade meme coins and move in and out of it.
Well, K Money said it too. He's like, if Bonk gets listed on Coinbase, that's bullish for all Solana meme coins because it's like, it's the start. Like, that is like, now people are going to try to speculate on what the next one could be. And it's going to just cause a massive influx into Solana meme coins, which usually is like relatively bearish for NFTs because all the focus goes to meme coins. We've had a few meme coin cycles, but like, honestly, NFTs are actually kind of bouncing nicely, like much what Sig had said. And the market right now on Solana just feels good. We had a sell-off this morning post Ledger news, and it based like most of these alts have basically retraced that entire sell-off candle. So like overall, the market just looks healthy.
I you know what? Like intertwined now, though, right? We have like NFTs are dropping shit coins. We got shit coins dropping NFTs, right? We had the Smurf Cat PFP yesterday, which was like, I think at the all time highest, it was a 39-40x from Mint. So I don't know what's had a good.
There's been a couple of coins that I've been looking at. I mean, it's interesting aping into a lot of these different coins right now, including ApeCoin. ApeCoin has actually had a nice little pump up from when I bought it last time. It's now at 1.8 off of a low of basically 1. And I don't know. This seems like something that could easily hit, you know, 6 plus. I like this.
That's bullish for Bored Apes, in my opinion. If that goes back to 6, apes are going to run back to like 40, 50.
Sorry, 40, 50 ETH.
Yeah, 40, 50 ETH. Yeah, I think so. Just because like when you have a token associated to an NFT, when the token pumps, the NFT usually lags. And that's like what we've seen with Sproto Gremlins and Ticker Bitcoin, is every time Ticker Bitcoin like sends, Sproto Gremlins usually are like the lagging trade. And now I think we're going to get the same thing with the move on, the move on Bitcoin. The Smurf Cat NFT.
Oh, okay.
Did like you say the Smurf Bitcoin? Yeah.
No, I was talking about the Smurf Cat NFT. Anyway, look, a lot of action in the shitcoin department, the meme coin department. Pretty crazy to see Bonk run. It's been, it's really been something to see. Nick, you have Bonk, right?
Mm-hmm. I got about $2,500 worth now. And, I'd like to see that go up. This is free money. I just never exited the position. I've just been holding on to it ever since it was a couple hundred dollars. And it just keeps running. I like another 10x from here. I'd like it to be at least over $10,000 before I sell, you know?
You must have got airdropped like literal pennies, dude.
Pennies?
Okay.
What how much did you get airdropped?
Oh, I didn't. Well, listen, there was like an issue with Liberty Square. They didn't get any bucks, so.
Okay.
So, that's your subject.
Well, I think I have 350 million or 450 million or something like that, which is still not a lot. Most people are aiming to be bonk billionaires is where you want to be. So I'm doing pretty well right now, though. Outside of that, there's so many coins that are running at this moment in time. My DCA is at $15,000 a pop. Are looking brilliant right now. So I'm enjoying those pullbacks. Solana is absolutely cooking. We're seeing NFTs start to get more action on Solana once again. It seems like the bottom was in, at least the short-term bottom. My question at this point is, what's going to be the bearish catalyst here for any of these to pull back easy? Have we missed the opportunity for Solana to go back? Like, is the base no longer $50? What are we aiming for?
I have no idea, dude. That's the worst part. Is like, I was hoping that sell-off yesterday would have continued, and it just didn't. It just didn't at all.
I look, it bounced off of the Bollinger Bands, Pio's favorite thing to be monitoring.
I just think I don't have any problem with the Bollinger Bands. I just think it's funny.
It bounced directly off the middle side of it, just continuing. It's a bullish continuation at this point. So there's nothing indicating a bearish pullback here. AVAX looking strong as ever, relatively strong. I think it pumped even more. But the daily looking pretty damn good. It's a great time to be in crypto. I noticed my Coinbase bags that I had bought a while ago are up significantly. I wish I'd put even more into my Coinbase bags. I don't know what we think the upside is here, another 2x or something like that. But I also was looking, there are some stock opportunities probably at this point in time. I know we don't trade stocks around here, but I was saying, what are the odds that a stock 2x's? There are decent odds that a stock 2x's. But it's a limited subset of them that you're angling for to actually do that. I don't know if you remember 2021 and Cook. Just some of the, I mean, Peloton, remember that? That was at $90. It's down crazy. Still like 90% from that, which is ridiculous.
We'll talk about a narrative-driven pump, right? Literally the narrative on Peloton was like, people are going to be at home more, so they're going to need home exercise bikes. I mean, that's basically the narrative, right? I mean,
well, my favorite was the purple mattress narrative during COVID.
Oh, that one was so stupid.
It was my absolute favorite one. Cause I remember I was like fairly active on Wall Street Bets at the start. Had a slight viral post about corn, the commodity. And one of my edited comments was like, at least I wasn't the idiot who went long on purple earnings. And this guy had like a 6-paragraph essay about purple earnings and how people couldn't go to the store to buy mattresses, so everybody would order them. And because of that, Purple would gigascend. So he liquidated his 401k and put it all on Purple short-term call options, and Purple missed earnings. So his very next post was like, all right, so I lost 500k. Anybody got some zero data expiration options that I can take? I was like, dude, what?
Purple, it just sucks anyways. Like, they're... Well, don't they just weren't they starting off with pillows?
Yeah, it was just pillows. Just pillows and bed sheets.
I actually don't know if those pillows were bad. I've never tried the pillows, so I may be completely wrong about the quality of Purple.
I think all those companies suck. I think I got like a Bear mattress one time. Like all those mattresses that come in like a box and you like roll them out.
I actually got one, but it wasn't in a box that you roll. It came as a mattress. I did buy it online, but it's a really nice mattress. The ones that fold up, those things are all garbage. They're 100% garbage. They're basically the worst. I have people that are like, oh, you should try a Casper mattress.
I have a Casper. It's terrible.
Oh, my God.
It's not good. It comes in a fucking box. You gotta. It's so weird, dude.
Are you 16 years old?
What do we got to do to get you guys a quality, you know, a Sealy's mattress or something?
I was,
dude,
between Purple and Casper, dude. I didn't know which one.
I was talking about a holiday bonus for Bunny last night, and I think what we're going to have to do is just get you a mattress.
Wow, that's hilarious. Real quick on the stock front, because I think it's actually insanely relevant right now. We got people, some badass you know, investors in the audience on YouTube. We got Mike DeFi saying his IRA is only Coinbase stock. I love that because I remember when we were, so when the SEC letter came out, that was like June. That was like May, June, July time. And they said, what's it called? Solana was a security. Then obviously you had Robinhood delist Solana. You guys probably remember that. That was a big thing. It gave Solana like a 20, 30% haircut right there when they announced that they were going to do it. We launched Bodagos on the day that they actually did it, but it was already priced in from 2 weeks before. So that haircut was already, very present. Coinbase stock dropped, I think, to like 50 bucks, 55 bucks, 60 bucks. And I remember Spencer was on the show and we were talking about it. And I remember he was like, talking about how he has like a ton of Coinbase stock or something like that. And I was buying it at that time and it felt weird to buy it during that dip because it was like almost like this FTX level moment where it's like, well, all these things are going to be securities. Oh, and the SEC also like subpoenaed Coinbase and they were pushing back against it, that whole thing. I just looked at my brokerage, one of my brokerage accounts that has Coinbase in it, up 125%, ladies and gentlemen, on the Coinbase position. That's a fun one to look back on. Absolutely love to see it. Also want to point
even more on that, man. It's ridiculous. We bottom ticked that Kix and I missed out on, and I think he may have gone with it, was Facebook. I wasn't trading it, but we were live on the show being like, yo, this $90 is like really cheap. I think they had one bad earnings.
No, it was that. No, Nick, you're right. They had a bad earnings, but it was Facebook sold off because of the Meta rebrand. Like it was being priced like it was Bitcoin or something, and it sold off with crypto. If you look, Facebook sold off way harder than like Microsoft and Google and all that shit. And then it 5X'd off the bottom. 5X. I mean, that was the. Yeah, Mark, that one was
now one of the five richest people, I think, now or something like that. He's in the top.
That well, was you got to think too with like this. Yeah, I was just gonna say the stock stuff in general is like all backed by the FOMC stuff yesterday. Like, dude, Powell may have actually pulled off a soft landing. Like, as crazy as it sounds, we may actually get a soft landing. And like everyone, like myself included, like looking at macro, I was like, there's no way in hell this MFR pulls it off. Like, dude, we printed one third of all circulating dollars during COVID, and we may actually get a soft landing, which is like the most ridiculous thing.
So here's the deal. Here's the deal. And I got Trevor. Do I have Trevor on stage? All right, we got Trevor on stage. So we're going to bring Trevor in a second. Because then, real quick, yeah. Hold on. Before we go to the Fed. Before we go to the Fed, we're going to go to the Fed. We're going there right now. We're going down to downtown New York, downtown Manhattan. We're going to go to the Fed and we're going to talk to the security guards over there. No, but we're going to go to the Fed. I want to finish on stocks. Kix bought Robinhood like 2 weeks ago. I have a negligible amount of Robinhood stock. I used to work there. I had an equity package that was worth $9,000. I sold that like a year and a half ago. I bought back in. I got a whopping $688 of Robinhood stock. I'm a real whale. I have this negligible amount. You talked about stocks that can 2X. Nick, genuine, like think about it for real. Is Robinhood going to get bucketed in with crypto the way Coinbase and MicroStrategy are because it's a top 10 United States organization when it comes to Bitcoin holdings and you can actually buy and sell crypto on the platform and withdraw it now? No, easy, not possible.
I don't think so. I think if anything, if the S&P makes new all-time highs, that's where Robinhood cooks more so. Like that is the bigger win. People don't like the traditional market and their earnings largely come from the back of equities and short-term options because like you can get approved for options with like two clicks, which is like heinous in itself. And I think that's where Robinhood in general is going to win because the S&P I think is going to continue to make new highs throughout next year, election year, everything else going on. And that in itself will, and like the way that the FOMC went yesterday, it sounds like we're not getting another hike. And if anything, we may actually get cuts next year, which is extremely bullish for TradFi.
We're going to talk about the Fed literally right after we finish talking about this stock. But why do you, so if Coinbase moves with Bitcoin, if MicroStrategy moves with Bitcoin, why is it out of the question that Robinhood would move with Bitcoin? You're muted.
You're muted.
I don't think it's totally out of the question. I think the bigger thing to like look at it is that it's more correlated to the S&P. And yeah, if Bitcoin sends, the S&P most likely also goes up. So I think they move in tandem still. We haven't had a full decoupling of crypto from traditional finance.
Pio, my question is, why would you select that versus Coinbase or MicroStrategy to correlate with crypto? I don't know why Robinhood would be the trade here.
Because literally smaller number theory, because it's $12 a share for Robinhood and people seem to be more comfortable buying smaller number shares. Just like I think people are more comfortable. I'm not saying that this math is right, by the way. And my buddy that's an accountant for a financial company was like getting mad when I was talking to him about this. I was like, dude, obviously I understand that market cap is the only thing that matters. And I understand percentage gains. I understand fractional shares. I actually have preached about that on this show for years, but I'm done pushing back against the broader market. The broader market wants to buy the smaller number. That's why people don't want to buy Bitcoin. They buy Ethereum. And if they can't afford Ethereum, they buy Solana, the whole thing. I mean, there is something to that. And if Robinhood is a top 10 organization when it comes to Bitcoin holdings, and they offer, you know, the ability to buy and sell Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies on their exchange, and now you can withdraw it, whereas last bull run, you couldn't withdraw it. That withdrawal feature, making it an actual proper exchange, like a Coinbase, you can withdraw your crypto instantly, just like Coinbase. That's what's making me wonder if it's going to get bucketed in. I do not know. I also don't really care that much. I have $687 worth. It doesn't really make a difference. But I'm just wondering. I'm just pointing it out.
I think it's an interesting stock. I don't know about the crypto side. I agree with Easy on the S&P side. I also know that the all-time high on Robinhood is, five x from here, or four to five x from here, which is interesting. Their financials are a little odd. They have 2 years of negative net income, losing over $1 billion. It's also interesting how much they're financed by debt. I didn't realize that a company like this would have as much debt as they do. I like it. It's a $10.5 billion market cap. Their gross revenue is $1.36 billion. It, theoretically, they could, if they got a bunch of new people that hop on board. My thought, though, is this. Right now, I actually don't think. There's a number of things I've been thinking about with the crypto wallet analysis, how many wallets are active, for example. I'd love to see that chart if we can access it. I don't know where do you, Easy, do you access that anywhere?
I don't. I probably should. That's not one thing I really look at too heavily.
But the reason I was going to say actually it's less relevant is because the majority of people are trading on Coinbase and other places. Like they're just going on there, making their trades, keeping it there. They don't move it out of their Coinbase account. And I think the same thing goes with Robinhood. The real question is Robinhood going to get new users back in? And instead, and my thought is, no, not really, actually. They may get some user growth, it's been a few years, so maybe some teenagers, you know, got older and decided that they're going to become stock traders all of a sudden. But I think anyone that was trading with Robinhood and went away for a bit after they lost money, maybe going back into Robinhood. And so that's something that I think, you know, you could see positive revenue growth, but I don't know if we outstrip, because 2021, their annual revenue was 1.8. 2022 is 1.36, meaning that they went down from there, but I think maybe they could go back to that. Right now, they're at $1.2 billion for the year, and who knows what their fourth quarter looks like. But so that's the upside in my mind. And the same thing goes with crypto, is a lot of those people coming back that weren't in it before, and plus a little more action this time around.
Didn't Robinhood royally screw every normie, though, on like the one normie win that like ever
happened? AMC, GameStop. And GameStop. Yeah, and dude, then they also screwed every Solana holder, if you remember.
Yep.
They sold Solana at $16. So that's if I held Solana on Robinhood, I'd be fucking pissed. Like that was a clean 4X. You know, like, well, sitting right now, like, I'd be pissed.
They forced you out of Solana?
They made you sell it.
Oh, yeah. Because of FTX.
Yeah.
No, because of
the lawsuit SEC that was filed against Binance and Coinbase that listed it as a security.
That one's hard to blame them for, though, dude.
They were the only exchange that delisted it.
Right, but still, compared to the other, I mean, you can blame the shit out of them for the GME and AMC stuff. I get where Bunny's coming from. Regardless, just wanted to bring it up because it's one stock that I thought about that I was like, well, maybe it goes up. I'm not investing heavily into it. I have, like I said, a whopping $680 of exposure. Want to get the discussion going. We'll have to see in 5 months whether it was a way off take or if there was something to it. All right, look, the Fed and Jerome Powell's soft landing. This one is pretty juicy. So Spencer on this show before talked about a situation where Jerome Powell, like, look, the bottom line is Jerome Powell has to save face. These people have to save face. And I feel like, Easy, you saying that, you being like, oh shit, Jerome Powell, you know, actually may have pulled off the soft landing. People were setting the meme around, you know, the Shaq meme where he goes, I want to apologize. I wasn't familiar with your game. They're sending that meme around for Jerome Powell, which was pretty funny. That's like a really good meme in this situation.
Dude, he did it.
You saying that? Jerome Powell's listening to the show right now and literally going, I've saved face. And he's just going to print next year and we're going to go back up.
He did. I'm baffled because if you had asked me 2 months ago, if you had asked me last week, will he pull off the soft landing? My answer would have been no. I would have been like, we're still screwed. And the comments from this, the data that's coming out from PPI, CPI, etc., I'm like, he did it. I'm like genuinely in awe. I'm like sitting here like, he pulled off a masterclass of printing 1/3 of all dollars in existence, cranking inflation rates to like 7-9% and not literally imploding the entire world. Somehow, some way, he's done the damn thing. The S&P's up. The US economy isn't great. But we knew it wasn't going to be great. But the same thing is like the globe also printed money, like Canada printed, Australia printed, Europe printed. So everyone was kind of in the same situation when it came to like how much money was circulating. But somehow, some way, we didn't like there was worry that we were going to see Great Depression level issues in the economy.
So real quick, I just want to point something out. You saying that he pulled it off is all that actually matters. The narrative of him pulling it off is enough for him. The reality is, my position is like, what's soft landing? Rent in New York is twice as expensive literally than it was in 2019. Literally twice as expensive in 5 years. And a sandwich in New York costs $25, whereas it costs like $14 5 years ago. So everyone can be like, he actually pulled it off. And he can be like, inflation is under control, blah, blah, blah. It's still 2x what it was 5 years ago. It doesn't matter, though, because if they're like, we pulled it off, then they'll just pump the markets and here we go. Trevor, would you say that there's a legit soft landing? I'm wondering what your perspective is on this. Or is this just a save face situation for Jerome Powell? Trevor, you there?
And does Powell have any rare sats?
I think that, all these guys, they FUD Bitcoin just so they can buy it on the side. And I'm sure he has some Powell sats. You know, maybe we can make a new rare sat for someone finds his wallet.
Oh, if we find his wallet, I want all those sats. I want those JP freaking J-Dog sats. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the economy is not good for the majority of people in the United States. But I think that because Trump is pulling ahead in the polls here, that the Democrats are just going to turn the money printer back on. I don't think they really have a choice. And so, you know, I think Easy actually called this a couple months ago where he's like, you know, the halving every year is actually on the presidential election cycle. And so this kind of idea that the halving pumps the market, you know, when it's everybody knows there's perfect information, it's an efficient market, is kind of hard to believe. I think that it has more to do with the fact that it's on the election year cycle. So I'm predicting, you know, up from here, basically, because it is the election cycle. Trump is pulling ahead. Biden and the administration has not done a great job, especially in the last 2 years and with all this tightening. So there's no real choice for them but to pump the economy.
There you go. Soft landing. Whatever narrative you want. $25 sandwich. Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, want to give a quick shout out.
You're in Williamsburg. You're like you moved into Disneyland or Disney World, and you're complaining about what the price of a sandwich is in Disney World.
I'm just saying, man. Down here in sunny Florida, it's $2 empanadas, $4 Cuban sandwiches. They're sold out of a truck on the side of the road, and there's no better food.
We know, and I'm excited. Real quick, though, I used to live in Williamsburg in 2019, 2020 also. And the same, I'm eating the same sandwiches. I'm still going to Fedorov's. It's the same sandwich, but it was like $15 then. Now it's $25. And the rent is 2X.
What fucking sandwich are you buying for $25? Like, what is on this sandwich?
Come to Williamsburg. Come to Manhattan.
Is this a
$30 sandwich?
Is it a 3-foot sandwich? You don't have a. There's no such thing as a $30 sandwich.
A 3-foot sandwich.
There is in my building. There's a $30 sandwich.
$30, buddy.
Like one of those 6-foot like platter rings.
No, it's just a pastrami sandwich.
A pastrami sandwich with nut on rye.
It's on rye. $30, just like pastrami on rye.
Yes.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it? Jerome Powell's telling you that's what it's supposed to cost. And he's saving face that.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. Dude. Jerome Powell is literally telling you the fair value of this pastrami sandwich is $30. Not. That's what you're saying.
No, that definitively, I think Powell would be insulted by that sandwich. There's not a huge line. I'm telling you that much. It's Cat's Deli. In DeKalb Market, I'm telling you what this thing costs is technically $28, but after you add tax, it's over $30.
And they look at you to give a tip. They look at you like you're going to get a tip.
Give this a tip on your $30 sandwich.
My butcher shop over here, bougie-ass whole animal butcher shops looking for tips. I'm like, I got to tip you at the butcher shop? I mean, do I got a tip at Whole Foods? What do I got to do? Like, what's going on here? If I ever got a chance to interview Jerome Powell, I would bring up the sandwich. And I would talk to him, like, what do you think this Cat's Deli sandwich should cost? What do you think a pastrami on rye is supposed to cost Jerome?
All of America is not going to Cat's Deli to call market, though. That's the whole point that I'm saying. They're not selling the $30 sandwich in Detroit.
Like, you go to Wendy's, you get a bag for $6. It's got a burger, a 4-piece nugget, and a fry. Dude, where are you guys eating?
And it has the same level of nutrition as the $30 sandwich, Pia.
Exactly.
I'm sure it does. I'm trying to get to this partner read, and we're talking about sandwiches, and I can't let it go. I just love talking about food. Anyway, look, ladies and gentlemen, a quick shout-out to a product that, if you are listening to this show, I can almost guarantee that every single person listening to the show needs to use this. I want to go on record and literally put out a guarantee. This is unsellable. So this is a service that lets you sell some of the worthless Ethereum NFTs that you might have paid hundreds, if not thousands of dollars for, but now have no liquidity. I'm going to raise my hand. I got some of these as recently as like a week ago. Like I'm looking in my Blur wallet and I'm like, already I got to use unsellable on that thing. This thing made its way into my wallet like a week ago. Anyway, this is tax loss harvesting software, which can offset your capital gains that you may have made from trading crypto NFTs or even stocks. So you see the unsellable account on stage. It's at unsellable NFTs. Check it out for tax loss harvesting and saving money on your taxes. You can go to the nifty.com/unsellable to learn more. So do it before December 31st. So it counts for this tax year. Don't act like you don't need this. I know you've got NFTs that have no liquidity that are sitting in the wallet. You will never be able to sell them. Instead of manually going through stuff with your accountant, just use unsellable. It makes it so much easier to track. Come on. This is literally something you need. Anyway, going back to the Federal Reserve situation, I am actually genuinely curious what Nick thinks as a market veteran. He's seen many, many markets at this point. And I'm not calling you old. I'm calling you experienced. What do you make of, you know, our positioning going into 2024?
The market positioning going into 2024? It's positioned. You know, it's in a position that I personally enjoy. The positions that I don't enjoy involve those that where the price is going to be going down. The downward sloping positions. We're all looking for the upward sloping positions is what we're angling for.
I didn't know where you were going with that. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I came around. I opened it up, and then I continued forward with it. And was able to wrap that up with the bow tie. You know what I'm saying? So it was pretty good. Dude, the thing that I'm looking at if you check out the money supply side of things, it's getting like, look, between 2016 and 2018, or sorry, 2020, sorry, so that's four years. The money supply, M2 money supply, went from 12.4 to 15.4. And so theoretically, if we were staying at the same pace, we would be around 18.4. Right now, we're at 20.7. So we're over that right now. But it's still creeping down a little bit. It's down off of where it was, which was 21.6. Or 21.7 is where we peaked at, basically. And so I just think they stick with that a little bit longer. We're in a good place. We've the chart's been going up since basically forever. If you go to the Fed's website, it's just been up only since this chart begins back in 1959. So, you know, it's a nice looking chart. I feel like Jerome Powell came in with the win. The market's going back up here, dude. This is looking prime fresh for a nice pump here. I'm happy. You know, I have more and more crypto at this point in time, and I'm feeling good about it.
I would love to ask Michael Saylor what he thinks of this Jerome Powell soft landing. I would just love to understand the way that guy breaks everything down. But ladies and gentlemen, all that matters is that there's a narrative that there was a soft landing and Jerome Powell saves face. My friend literally texted me yesterday. I want to get the exact text, but I think he said, like, basically he's really putting it together. He's gotten like way better here, you know, in the past couple, you know, in the past year.
Well, it's not just that, it's not Jerome.
Powell's doing a better job than he's getting credit for. He fucked it up, but I think he's learned a lot since. Jerome Powell's literally like, oh, give me those comments. Anyway, so, Nick, go ahead.
I don't think it's about Powell saving face. I think it's more about the fact, dude, what is money? Like, you're I don't know. All of it's made up. So, like, it's only just about believing in the thing the same way that you believe in Bitcoin. And you believe the bullshit that Michael Saylor
get like, out of here.
To a degree, it is a bunch of bullshit because
sheep of a different herd, right? Like,
I can come up with a limited supply of chairs, Pio. Okay. Doesn't mean that's worth trading.
But you know what I'm going to ask you, Nick? What am I about to ask you?
Chicago stickers. How about you give me how about you buy this stack of them for me for $5,000?
But I have a question. Do you know what question I'm going to ask you?
No, and it doesn't really matter. No one cares.
It's like the most ruthless response to a co-host right there. But what I'm going to ask you is, you brought up chairs. How many chairs are you sitting on right now, Nick?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm sitting on one.
Are you all in on the chair?
At this moment, I am, but I will be sitting in another chair later when I eat my lunch.
That's the Solana chair. This chair is the Bitcoin chair. Anyway, great take from Nick. Easy. Look, so you called the bottom, actually, saying in 2023 Q3, things were going to bottom out, and then it was going to be a cook from there. What are you calling for 2024? And you're muted.
Buy every single dip that we are presented with. Like, don't even think about it. Like, that is how I'm navigating the market. Any dip we get is for buying. I'm not going to overthink it. Red days, I think we're going to get into a position where it's just like, red days are such a no-brainer that you just have to buy.
I'm DCing like $1,000 a day right now.
Done that 5 months ago.
You know, it's better late than never. Yeah,
better late than never. Yes. We haven't even hit our stop DCA target yet. I've been saying once we hit Sol at 100, AVAX at 100, then I'll convert those to only on red days. Until then, though, it's every single day. We buy every single day.
And when the dips happen, your boy's going to DCA 15 grand at a time. That's what's happening. So give me a pullback, 15 grand.
I love it.
I mean, Pio, to be honest with you, too, I think what's going to happen, the way I've been watching the market next year and my like general thesis could be brutally wrong. We chop for December. Slight upward action into ETF news, sell off on the ETF news. Like
a lot of people think that's going to happen.
Yeah. I do. Yeah, that's the thing. Like it, okay. That kind of feels like a crowded trade. Kind of feels like a crowded trade. But I also think that it's just kind of going to be what happens.
Didn't Bitcoin giga send the last time we had the fake approval?
Yes, but that's why. Now it's like everyone knows it's coming. It's a matter of when, not if anymore. And that was like,
I don't know when.
January is like 90% by traditional finance analysts is what they're saying. That's the thesis. I think it's priced in. Yeah, which is why it's a sell the news event. But you buy the ever living shit out of that dip. You call the bank. You say, hey, you give me every goddamn dollar you have. I'm taking out a loan. I'm remortgaging the house. I'll sell organs and I'm buying that dip. All the way through the halving, through the election, through 2025. Red days are for buying. I think we're back. Like market wise, I think we're back. And if they sprinkle in one single rate cut, you're going to see some smell on the timeline when it's up only for 2 years. It's going to be violent.
I hate the ETF narrative because it's just not relevant to me as much. I just don't like that side of things. But here's hoping it gets approved. The 90% thing to me seems that's a difficult thing to trade. When consensus is one thing, I'm taking the counter.
Okay. I'm going to be fascinated to see if there's a dip after the ETF because my instinct would be that there isn't. But people seem to be thinking that there is. Let's see what happens. There's either going to be a dip or there isn't. So we're going to find out. Very, very interesting stuff for sure. Shaping up for a crazy 2024, without a doubt.
Yo, it's so sick.
I've been seeing tweets where people are already gearing up with the, like, I turned 30K into, like, 2.5.
So sick.
What were we going to say, Pia?
I'm seeing tweets already where people are like, I turned 30K into like 2.5 million last bull run and everything.
I think it'll be interesting to see. I do see a lot of tweets going, this guy turned 1,000 into 100,000. Those tweets going on right now and he did it all with meme coins.
Someone said he turned 30K into 1K.
The meme coin trading is tough to be following that nonstop. But there's definitely groups of people that are manipulating it. Did you see the thing with the what's the name that the guy that showed up in the Ferrari or Lamborghini at
Richard Hart's house?
Wizard of Soho.
Wizard of Soho, that guy. Did you see the tweet that was circulating because it was screenshot about how they were manipulating the market with the meme coins, how they can pump anything?
Oh, dude.
And then Fuck Render replied, please delete this tweet.
Yeah, because he's just in it. He's in the screenshot. Yeah. He's just like, fuck yeah, let's fucking pump it. It's like, dude, why would you post that? Like, dude, what is good with you?
Guys, wild. Real quick, Chris G, a frequent audience member, actually has a comment that I think is interesting that I actually agree with. Without the ETF narrative, I don't think we would have entered the early parts of the bull market just yet, just my two cents. If you look at the previous halving cycles, he's absolutely right, and we weren't due for this to happen yet, but the ETF has kind of sent everything. So actually, from that perspective, you could see a pullback, and then everybody's like, oh my God, it's so over, we're so done. But that's just a fantastic buy opportunity. If that does happen, we will see what Nick's tone is like during that period, because I know Nick can be influenced by the price going up and the price going down for sure.
When the price goes up, I'm happy, but I've been tolerant at this moment of price pullbacks. I've watched it go, like, if it goes back 30%, I'm just like, all right, like I want
a 30% dip so bad, dude. Like, I want just a giga red candle back to back days.
I believe Easy wants that. I got to see Nick's tone if and when that happens. I got to see how Nick's operating. If he's totally composed and just deploying during that period. I want to see it, Nick. I'm not saying that I don't believe that you'd be completely composed. I just want to see it for myself.
I mean, it sounds like you're fading me.
I'm not. I would never fade you. How am I going to fade you?
Well, you are. That's what you're doing right now is you're... You're fading me. You're saying ain't no way he's going to do it. I want to see him actually do what he's saying, because there's no way he's going to do it.
I literally bought a Mad Lad 24 hours after you did. because you bought it. And I was like, oh, when Nick does buys like this, it's a good buy to do. And I just felt this like an immediate pressure to get a Mad Lad. I got it. And then it went up by like 125 Solana. So like that, and Solana went up like 2x. So I was like, yeah, I'm pretty damn glad I did that.
In Nick's defense, though, they've dipped a little bit and he's been holding strong. Dude, he hasn't complained about it. No, he's not freaking out. He's fine.
No, Nick's yeah, good.
He's still
this
up 2.5x.
He's a rock, dude. He's solid as a rock.
Nick's a rock on this kind of trade, for sure. For sure.
I'm just holding on all the NFTs right now because we haven't seen this this market pump. I'm very excited. I'm wondering how it will compare though to like 2021, if we'll ever see something like that on the NFT side. And that side of me feels like we're not going to.
I was feeling that way. So I went on record. I've said this exact thesis that I said during the whole bear market, which was that last time NFTs pumped so hard because they got legit global mainstream attraction because they were so new and interesting. Jimmy Fallon and Paris Hilton and Stephen Curry and Justin Bieber and what's his name? The soccer guy. I forget what his name is. Wearing the Bored Ape stuff. I was like Eminem and Snoop Dogg. I was like, there's no way. And combined with the fact that they're only like, you know, call it 20 or 30 quality NFT collections total that people could deploy capital into. So there was real global liquidity going into NFTs and it could only flow into like 20 or 30 things. So those prices pumped so high. There's no way that's going to happen again. It's going to get distributed, you know, among all the different projects. But going into this now, it feels borderline exactly the same. And whether or not you get the celebrity component, I feel like now people are like, oh, well, NFTs came back. It wasn't just a fad. Just like the second time Bitcoin came back, like, oh, that wasn't just a fad. And I feel like actually we might be, it might be like more ridiculous this time. I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
we've only had one NFT cycle. That's the thing.
What I mean.
We don't even know.
No, you
go ahead easy then, buddy.
I was going to say, that's like the thing is like, I look at it and I'm just like, we don't even know how they're going to move. We don't even know if like the 10K happened because of apes and punks. Like what happens when we have like 100K supplies and things like that, where it's just mass market appeal and it's like way easier to get these things. Like that's what I look at. I just think we're going to see a lot of different things here. To me, there's also like these situations where the market is going to get more efficient. It already has become efficient. And we, like I said, we've only seen one cycle. So like right now I feel optimistic that we're going to have more opportunities. But it's also why like you shouldn't marry your bags from last cycle. Because if you were here for 16 to 18, a lot of the new tokens were what cooked, not the ones that from the previous cycle. Only like a handful survived and ended up doing really, really well.
Buddy, also, it was complete nonsense at that moment in time. But yeah.
But there's still a lot of nonsense. We're talking about meme coins going up by 60x. Anyway, Bunny, go.
The fact that nobody thinks it's going to happen again makes me think it's going to happen again. Like that literal fact alone is that everyone's like, we'll never see anything like it again. Like that's all I need to know, that we will see it again. And apes are going to lead the way. It's going to be mostly new stuff, but there's always like a few stragglers from the last market. And it's like, if you don't think apes is one of them, out to lunch.
Out to lunch. Bunny, if you have an $800,000 Bored Ape, what sort of energy are you going to have?
Set it to a million. 800K is FUD, dude. Oh, the energy is going to be through the roof, man. Through the roof.
800,000, that's what you think is...
That's FUD.
It's FUD.
This is ridiculous, dude.
I feel like this will be a fun one to clip any way you spin it. If you do see 800K apes, it'll be fun to clip it. If apes just don't go anywhere. Nicky boy.
I'm wondering if I should buy an ape again.
Oh!
Buy a Coda.
I was just going to say that. These things are the apes of the metaverse, bro. Think about that. It's going to be like auto farming your fucking other side land in like 30 years. You won't have to do anything in the other side. Think about
you just
that.
Get fucking rich, Nick.
In all seriousness, and this is... You're going to lose audience members here. 1,000% I'm going to lose audience members here. With the Coda, you're just going to be flying all over other side. Like literally just flying while everyone else has to run.
I got to walk like a peasant, dude. Are you kidding me?
It's going to be such a flex to just get that Coda and fly across this brilliant World of Warcraft world that they're making. That's really going to be a big flex. Nick, you want to walk when Codas can fly? You serious? That doesn't sound like you.
Dude, I'm looking forward to the new GTA. That's the thing that I think that I think would do really well if you could use these in Grand Theft Auto. That said, that with the partnership the other day with the what's the soccer car game?
Rocket League.
Rocket League. I'm watching videos of Rocket League actually, just because they're so good.
Oh, dude, the high-level Rocket League guys, I'm not even a video game guy. You got to respect it. It's kind of like just watching somebody really good at a real sport. The skill cap for Rocket League is insane.
Dude, I actually, like, so I was going through, because YouTube starts just suggesting you stuff, but I clicked on the subscriptions tab, and I was like, I wonder what I'm missing now, like what's gone off my suggested thing. And the Rocket League one was one of them. And I just clicked and watched a 45 minute. I'm like doing work and I'm looking down and being like, yo, those guys are so good. Like,
so good. And I'd rather watch Rocket League than play it because I just suck at it. You know what I mean? So it's like, if I suck at it, why should I play it? Because it's not going to be that fun because I'm going to get my ass whipped versus, you know, watching it and watching the highest level. Anyway, look, ladies and gentlemen, we're at time. One more shout out to this product that I can almost guarantee you need if you are listening to this show. This is a service called Unsellable that lets you sell some of the worthless Ethereum NFTs that you may have paid hundreds or thousands of dollars for, but now are here, you know, get the name Unsellable because there's no liquidity. And that lets you do something that you should know about called tax loss harvesting. So this is a very automated way for you to have your tax loss harvesting stuff taken care of. You don't have to work with your accountant to go through it line by line. Like Unsellable is going to buy these off you. And then it'll be much easier for you, you know, whatever tax software you use to actually, you know, kind of take a look at your whole year and log your transactions in the proper way. So if you are interested in tax loss harvesting and saving money on your taxes, which you should be, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a CPA, but it doesn't take a CPA to know that you want to offset your gains. And I'm sure if you traded NFTs this year, you got some stuff that you can offset. Go to the nifty.com/unsellable. That's the nifty.com/unsellable. And you see the Twitter account, the X platform account for Unsellable NFTs on the Twitter stage right now. It's at Unsellable NFTs. Very easy to remember. And do this before the end of the month, before December 31st. Again, you don't have to be a CPA to know when the year ends. So before December 31st, to actually have some things offsetting your tax liability for 2023. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time, right here on X platform, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts. We're everywhere. Wherever you want to listen, we are there. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow to close out the week. Kix is going to be on the show tomorrow. Always a ton of fun to have Kix on the show. So good stuff, ladies and gentlemen.